In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, today we have a special guest on the program, and Kenneth is here to introduce him.
Thank you very much, McDaniel, and hello again, everyone. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you our second guest speaker, who is a young man with boundless energy, a real passion for Christ, and an engaging style of speaking. Nate has a most interesting and unorthodox background. He was born and raised in Senegal, West Africa, right on the mission field. At the age of 16, he saw the need to invest his life for the abused, the neglected, and the abandoned children of this world, both for this life and for eternity. After graduating from North Greenville University in America with a degree in business and broadcasting, he headed to the Middle East to begin pioneer work among such children. In December of 2006, he founded ROCK International. R-O-C-K is an acronym for Relief, Opportunity, and Care for Kids. ROCK is a non-profit organization seeking to be the lap of Jesus, as demonstrated in Mark chapter 9, verses 36 and 37, for children trapped in crisis situations. And now he oversees various international projects, youth discipleship ministries, and carries out a limited itinerant speaking schedule. And we're delighted to be able to have him speak on Times of Refreshing. Here is Nate Bremson.
Is there a void in your life? Are there uncertainties that are plaguing your every day? Well, today as we turn to God's Word and look in, not only will we find hope, but realize there is purpose, there is meaning to those everyday events. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has an encounter with God that changes everything. Are you open for an encounter with God? We read in Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." My name is Nathan Bramson, and I grew up in Senegal, West Africa, for the majority of my life before finally moving to the Middle East to work among children. But the one thing which is common regardless of wherever I go is realizing that people are striving for meaning, looking for something which brings hope to an otherwise meaningless existence. I find it interesting to see how people use their everyday. In fact, an average man or woman who lives to be 80 years old will spend over a year of their life just getting ready, showering, makeup, hair, deciding what to wear. We spend a couple years of our life exercising, about 3 years of our life driving in a car, over 2 years cooking in the kitchen, another 10 to 13 years watching television, about 4 years eating, another 8 years on the internet, and goes on and on and on. And eventually we come to the end of life and we wonder, where did it go? And what was the purpose for it? Here in Isaiah, we find a situation where everything's been shaken up, not only in Isaiah's life, but in the land of Judah. The chapter starts out with incredible depth by saying, "In the year that King Uzziah died." What is the power that comes behind such a phrase? Well, we have to understand the fact that this was a great shift for the country. King Uzziah had been on the throne for 52 years. I don't know how you would feel if your local voted-in politicians occupied their position for 52 years. Sounds like a long time to me. I'm thankful that in most nations, elections happen a little more often than that. But here we have a king who had been in position for 52 years. Not only that, but he was regarded as a very wise, a very good king. He became king at the age of 16 years old. In 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Going on to 2 Chronicles 28, verse 5, it says, He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Uzziah was an energetic builder. He was a planner. He was a general. His fame spread as far as the land of Egypt. He was well respected in the eyes of his people. I'm trying to establish the fact that this man had brought stability to a land. But as Isaiah chapter 6 starts, everything was shaken up. I want to ask you as you're listening today, is your life shaken up? Are there things in your life which perhaps you thought were stable? Your health, your job, your family situation, your studies, your future dreams, and something has come in which has perhaps made you reconsider. This is exactly where Isaiah was as he entered the temple that day. And what's interesting is, though Isaiah was going to the temple to worship God, perhaps the last person he expected to meet with was indeed God. Now, furthermore, despite the fact that King Uzziah was a great king, his life did not end on a happy note, because pride crept into his heart, and one day he disobeyed the commands of the Lord by going and making a sacrifice which was not permitted, and the Lord struck him with leprosy, and he was a leper until the day he died. I don't know if you've ever encountered a leper, and in my travels and in my work with children, I've worked some with lepers, and one scene is embedded into my mind. I remember walking the streets of Calcutta in India, and seeing a gentleman on the side of the street where leprosy had eaten away all of his appendages. He had no arms, he had no legs, and he had a tin can in his mouth. And he was literally rolling down the street with this can, begging for a few coins as his life ebbed away. That scene, as it was ingrained into my mind, made me realize how Uzziah was at the height of glory, the king of a kingdom, and yet he ended his life by being a leper. You see, pride will destroy us. Pride will bring us down. But as Isaiah entered the throne room of God, there is a secret which God shows him, which brought change to Isaiah's perspective, and today can bring change to yours as well. If we look, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The secret to our life is not the circumstances in which we live. It's not the things which are happening around us. But rather, the secret is a redirection of our focus. Despite everything going on in a world which is chaotic, a world which is too busy to notice the eternal, God calls us today to take our eyes off of our problems, to take our eyes off of the distractions of this world, and to look at His throne. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. The Lord is on the throne. It doesn't say that God will one day occupy the throne. It doesn't indicate that God is out of control. God is not up for election. But rather, He is sitting on the throne. He is King. What comfort, what encouragement that ought to bring to each one of us who are wondering if the circumstances of our life are unraveling, if they're out of control. For indeed they are not, but rather He is on the throne, sitting on the throne, established. There's a song which some of you younger audience might be familiar with. Britney Spears sings it, and it's a song she wrote when she was 19 years old. The song is entitled Lucky, and it chronicles the events of her life as a superstar. When she writes the first verse, she says the words, Every morning, when she wakes up, referring to herself, there's a knock on the door. It's time for makeup, a perfect smile. It's you they're all waiting for. And the chorus is particularly interesting. It says, Isn't she lucky, this Hollywood girl? People say she's so lucky, she's a star. But she cries in her lonely heart, thinking, If there's nothing missing in my life, then why do these tears come at night? I find it fascinating that she ends the song on this question. There's no resolution to the question which she poses, but rather she ends it by saying, If there's nothing missing in my life, why do these tears come at night? You know, that's exactly what I think many of us are wondering today. If there's nothing missing in our life, if we have everything in order, we have a family, we have a home, we have money, we have a job, it seems that there's nothing missing. Well, perhaps there's something great missing. And perhaps that's the fact that we have not yet realized that someone else is in control. And the only way we will find peace is by encountering the God which Isaiah also encountered. Over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory." What's he saying? He's saying, if indeed you believe these things, if indeed Christ lives in you, if indeed you believe that God is on the throne, then seek those things which are eternal today. And I want to ask you, fellow listener, are you seeking things which matter? You see, Isaiah was so consumed with what was going on in the kingdom that he had lost sight of the eternal. And it took him an encounter with God to refocus and realize Christ is on the throne. Do you too need to set your mind on things above today, not on things on the earth? Someone once said that there are only two things which last for eternity, people and the Word of God. Invest in those two things. Now, coincidentally, or perhaps we could even say it seems like a paradox, but the more we look at the throne of God, the more we'll realize our own sin nature, the more we'll realize our need for God. Later on in the passage, which we won't focus on, Isaiah declares, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." After Isaiah encountered God for who he is, he finally saw himself for who he was. You see, we'll never really understand ourselves until we understand who God is. There's an interesting progress that takes place in the life of the Apostle Paul. We read of it later in the New Testament. And for those of you that perhaps are not familiar with the story of Paul, he was once a persecutor of the church. He once went around and killed Christians. But one day, God struck him off his horse on the road, called the street called Straight in Damascus, and changed his life completely. And after that, he became a pilgrim. He became one who went around preaching the gospel. But there's an interesting progression that takes place. You see, after Paul comes to this realization of who Christ is, he makes a declaration in the book of 1 Corinthians, and he notes this, that I am the least of the apostles. Now, for those of us that know the writings of the Apostle Paul, we probably would disagree with him. We'd probably say, Paul, you know, okay, maybe you're not the greatest of the apostles, but you're definitely not the least. But Paul says, no, I'm the least of the apostles. A little later on in his life, Paul goes on a step further. And in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, he makes the claim, I'm the least of all the saints. Now, we would struggle with saying that. I mean, if we look around our churches today, we probably wouldn't think, well, the Apostle Paul is worse than that person or worse than that person. But that wasn't the point. The Apostle Paul made the comment, I'm the least of all the saints. And at the end of his life, Paul picked up his pen one more time and began writing his son in the faith, Timothy. And to Timothy, he wrote, Timothy, Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What happened in Paul's life? Did he become worse and worse and worse as he became older and older and older? Was it that he started to sin more and more and more? Well, let me ask you a question about Isaiah. Did Isaiah all of a sudden become a wicked person and say, woe is me, for I am undone, just because he was in the temple and started sinning? No. In both the case of Isaiah and in the case of Paul, I believe something different happened. You see, they both turned their eyes to the throne of God. They both focused on the eternal. And in seeing Christ for who he is, in seeing the holiness and the beauty of the Almighty God, they finally, for the first time, saw themselves in light of who they truly were. Do you see yourself for who you are? Or are you so self-absorbed that you, that I, that we miss the true person that we are, and ultimately miss the beauty of the grace that Jesus Christ offers us, the transforming power he wants to bring to us? You see, God is powerful, and we see this in the passage. He's on the throne. He's high and lifted up. And I want to encourage you today that he's not giving up that position. In Psalm 90, verse 2, we have a beautiful verse. It says, "From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." I used to work with the Disney store in the United States for a brief time. And in working there, I got to interact a lot with kids that came in. And oftentimes, I realized I didn't know my Disney characters well enough. They might ask me for a Nemo doll, and I would happen to hand them a Dory. And the poor three-year-old would be traumatized by that. But anyway, over the course of time, I started to pick up the Disney lingo. And one day I was reading in the Message Bible, and I read that verse from Psalm 90, verse 2, and I found it fascinating the way that they phrased it. It says this, "From once upon a time to ever after, you are God." From once upon a time to ever after. God does not exist in the framework of time alone. God is eternal, and that is why he reminds us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, because our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions," and if the Apostle Paul, who's writing that, can say light afflictions, one who was stoned numerous times and left for dead, who was beaten 40 times minus one, who was shipwrecked and floating in the ocean on pieces of debris, one who was persecuted greatly for the cause of the name of Christ. If he can say, "For our light afflictions," my brothers and sisters, be encouraged today that your light afflictions are but for a moment, but they are working for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, we don't look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which you see are temporary, but the things which you don't see are eternal. Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. God is a powerful God. But we see something else. He's a personal God. God takes the time to meet with Isaiah individually. He takes the time to have an encounter with this prophet who perhaps was discouraged by the change, by the shift in the kingdom of that day. God's a personal God today as well, and he wants to meet with you. That's why he says in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." Stop what you're doing. Take time out of the chaotic flow of life. Take time to step away from the distractions that constantly consume your time and your energy and your very life. It's time to refocus. It's time to realize there's someone else in control. But stop and know that he is God. God's a powerful God, but God's a personal God who wants to have an encounter with you. But one more thing we see here, God is a purposeful God. Yes, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on a throne, but we see the fact that God did not encounter Isaiah for no reason whatsoever, but rather he had a specific agenda that day with Isaiah. He wanted to encourage Isaiah's heart, but he also wanted to remind Isaiah that his life had meaning, his life had purpose, and there was a job for him to do. And that is why in encountering God, not only will we see God for who he is, we will see ourselves for who we are, which is why Isaiah says, "Woe is me." And finally, we will see what God has for us to do. In the end of that chapter, what takes place next? God says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah, with incredible excitement, I'm sure, with almost a pleading tone of voice, says, "God, here am I. Please send me." When we finally recognize what God has done for us in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth, to give his life a ransom for all, we finally recognize that we have a purpose. And our purpose is to know him, to make him known. My listening friends, know today that God wants to have an encounter with you. Your life may be shaken up. There may be things which are unstable. But I encourage you today, look up. Look up and see Christ on the throne. Look up and see him who is high and lifted up, whose train of his robe fills the temple. Look up at the one who wants to reveal himself to you. Because this is the same God who so loved the world that he gave His only begotten Son, that whoever may believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's time to stop trying to draw water from the empty wells of the world, because they'll never satisfy. My friends, it's time to go to the living water. It's time to look up to the throne that will provide you meaning to life and meaning to eternity. May the Lord bless you in your pursuit of knowing Him.
The secret of life is not the circumstances in which we live or the things that are happening around us, but rather the secret of life is redirection of our focus. Thank you for that word, Nathan Bramson. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth comes along to bring us part one of Praying Through Perplexity. Right now, we'd love to hear from you, and we have several ways through which you can contact us. You can send us a text message. That number is 9431-3813. You can write us a letter, and that mailing address is Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915-714. And Times of Refreshing is now on Facebook. You can get the latest updates, you can socialize with Times of Refreshing fans, and you can give us your views right on our Facebook page. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, and there you can listen to the program online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access broadcast messages and podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.